Thanks for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash. Just right before I was getting ready to post this edition on our webpage and also on geeksoftheindustry.com, something came up that will affect this Sunday's TLC event in the WWE. There have been rumors recently of illness in the WWE locker room, including Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas, and Bray Wyatt's girlfriend, JoJo, also a ring announcer. Well, that evidently has spread to Roman Reigns. ESPN is reporting this afternoon that the TLC pay-per-view event will be having some massive changes with the news that Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt will be unable to compete due to an unspecified viral infection, and that Hall of Famer Kurt Angle will make his first in-ring appearance for the WWE in more than 11 years. SmackDown superstar AJ Styles will make a one-night-only appearance on Raw to take on Finn Balor, taking the place of Wyatt in that one-on-one match. Thanks for listening to Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective, with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
On this edition of Turnbuckle Trash, Hell in a Cell, was it a hell of a show or a heck of a show? Tables, ladders, and chairs is coming. ROH makes a big signing. Dave and Zane shoot on the WWE live events. A Bully Ray update, all coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Wait for the signal. Wait for it. Let's go.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Trash heads, welcome back to hell. No, just kidding. Actually, well, where I'm sitting right now, it could be hell, but it's not. It's heaven. Ajay Salveson here, Dave Denton there. Turnbuckle Trash is this show you are listening to. Thanks for joining us. Dave, how are you today?
I have been better. I've been feeling a little under the weather the last couple of days, but feeling better now.
You know, I was having a great day. And then you tell me, what is it? I mean, we got diarrhea. Is it a head cold? I mean, what's the issue?
I don't think I want to talk about diarrhea on this particular program. Well, I don't have.
I need to know because I'm sitting 2 yards away from you. So if you're going to spew, I need warning right now.
I don't spew. Dave? Honestly, I got a little story here, Ajay. Story time with Dave Denton on Turnbuckle Trash. Are you ready?
Oh, fetch.
1983. I was in Moraville, Louisiana, which is outside of Baton Rouge, about halfway between Baton Rouge and Alexandria.
Is anyone hiring?
And I got food poisoning. Spewing from both sides. It was terrible. Up until...
Was it a sandwich at Zupa's?
It was meatballs.
Dave, and say that. Like,
yeah. Well, at least it wasn't Wachabi's.
There are...
Oh, my gosh. Okay, anyway, food poisoning, 1983. The next time I threw up was when I got ill in the hospital after my knee replacement, which was last year.
So we are starting off the show with a last time Dave puked story. Meatballs.
And by Wachabi's. It's Wachobies.
Say it right.
Wachobies, excuse me.
I mean, if you're Italian, you can say Wachabi's, but it's Wachobies.
Okay, Wachobies. And boy, the Wachobies have been active in professional wrestling.
Oh my gosh, what is your problem?
I love Wachobie shots.
Oh my, first you start off with the last time I puked story presented by Meatballs, and then you tell us that have been active in professional wrestling.
Oh, when we talk about what's going on.
You have some serious issues right now. Ladies, I'm sorry. This was not how it was supposed to start or how it was supposed to run into. I hope you're doing well, though. Everybody out there. I hope you're still with us.
Just don't spew, so.
Oh, God, Dave.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'm glad
so. My Diet Dr. Pepper.
Cool. I got one right here myself, so. In my Utah State glass.
What is that, by the way? That can't be Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yes, it is.
Is it really?
Yes. Just watered down. It was icy.
So
you look at my refrigerator.
So it's from yesterday is what you're telling me.
You look at my refrigerator and tell me there's not Diet Dr. Pepper in there.
I'm not going to go raid your fridge.
Zane would.
Actually, I think I will, actually. Okay. I need another Diet Dr. Pepper okay. after I'm done with this.
Hey, should we get back into the swing of things?
Let's
here?
Do it. Hell in a Cell was a week ago or so ago. We apologize for being a little bit late on the recap. Forgive us. Life happens. Some of us, or at least one of us, had to freaking drive to St. George and back in one day to go do a one-hour coaches show. Didn't even pay for my hotel. I drove my own car to St. George and back.
For 1 hour.
Got back about 2 o'clock this morning, and it's the driving effects are definitely kicking in now.
Yeah, you look a little tired.
Yeah,
so
feel a little tired.
That's cool.
No, Hell in a Cell about a week or so ago. Great event. There are some unexpected results, if
Ooh,
you will,
man,
in
it was a good
unexpected
one.
Ways. But it was a good Hell in a Cell. We're gonna get into that recap. We're gonna jump into it. We're also gonna talk about another pay per view event. I mean, look, if we can't have one last night, let's have one another one, you know, in 2 weeks later.
TLC.
TLC will be happening here. That's going to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Excited about that. And then we're going to talk about, Zane's got a great segment coming up, Dave, right?
Yeah, he and I talked about ticket prices at WWE events. Which
is really interesting.
It is really interesting conversation. That'll be part of this podcast. Plus, we have news from ROH, Lucha Underground. We have some coverage of the Global Force Wrestling. We're going to try to hit a little bit of everything today.
Well, let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it, Dave. Hell in a Cell over at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, Michigan. Great, by the way, beautiful looking arena.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's anything compared to what Vivint Arena now looks like, but it's definitely a gorgeous place. Great crowd, sold out, on hand. Wonderful stuff going on. Dave, first match of the night. Where do you want to start with you?
Well, just quickly, they had the pre-show match. It was actually
a good match. Did you like it?
I enjoyed the match itself between Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin, and the Hype Bros. The match itself was enjoyable.
Did you?
I just don't like the pre-show stuff.
If it's a Hell in a Cell, and there's no cell, what's the point? Why don't you just put the match on SmackDown or something? No offense to the wrestlers and their performance, but it's Hell in a Cell. Bring something out of it.
Yeah, they should have had some sort of stipulation at least. So okay.
Well,
And it was won by Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable. We'll talk more about that later.
I love how you just jump right out of it.
Yeah.
You're just like, you know what, we're good.
I'm a pro. I'm a professional.
Hell in a Cell, SmackDown Tag Team Championship, a match that everybody really wasn't concerned about the winner. They're concerned about the high-flying performance itself, and it lived up to its billing. Usos defeat New Day via pinfall.
Unreal. How violent was this match inside Hell in a Cell? They were just... there were so many high spots for both teams. Now, it was Xavier Woods and Big E for the New Day, and Kofi was outside
of the
ring.
Yeah, he was kicked out of the Hell in the Cell. He was locked out of there. He said, can't touch, so it's a pure two-on-two match, which, by the way, I agreed with.
I did, too. So it was a good one. They had trombones, a cowbell.
I got to have more cowbell. I got a fever. And the only prescription... It's more cowbell.
Yes, we do. And then kendo sticks. The New Day used three kendo sticks to trap one of the Usos into the corner of the cell itself. And a great little bit there. They just killed each other. There was a point where Big E picked up one of the Usos and literally ran him into the side of the cell. From one side of the cell to the other, just ran right into that steel. There was a couple of times where it looked like heads or at least backs were hitting the support systems on Hell in a Cell. It was unreal. I mean, I was looking at that and saying, there's no blood, and I can't believe there wasn't at least a little bit.
There is kendo sticks and a cowbell involved.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Trombones.
I mean, they got creative in this match. And not to mention, I felt like Big E was actually more athletic in his showing than I've seen in any of his other matches. Right. He, I mean, you look at the guy and you think, what can he possibly do with his weight and his height? He was impressive.
He was. And so was Xavier. Xavier Woods. You know, you usually don't see him in the pay-per-views. He's usually outside of the ring playing that stupid trombone. What do they call it? Francesca 3 mm-hmm. now. He used two trombones in this one. But, I mean, when he gets a chance to shine, this dude can go. And I enjoyed watching him in the match.
The Usos do prevail. It's their second straight pay-per-view against New Day and their second win. Three-time tag team champions. Is it five?
I think SmackDown, but they've had five.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Yeah. Five tag team championships overall. Three-time as a SmackDown, though. That's impressive. They got some serious momentum going.
Unreal.
What do you do with that? You're going to hear the word rivalry a lot in this whole entire segment of Hell in a Cell. Some new, some old, some are dead now. What do you do with this one?
Well, on SmackDown the next Tuesday night, they actually had a segment where the Usos called out the New Day, and there was kind of a truce between the two teams. The Usos, you know, talked about how physical it was and how the New Day brought it to them. And the Usos said, respect. And they put out their hand and they shook hands. So basically, that feud is over, for now at least. And they're going to be starting new ones. And matter of fact, it looks like for the New Day, and I don't know why they're doing this, but the New Day are going to have a program now, at least a short program, with Rusev and Aiden English, where Rusev says, it's no more New Day, it's Rusev Day.
Crickets.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Speaking of Rusev, and if you're wondering, like, what the heck that's supposed to mean, well, I think everyone's asking the exact same question. Randy Orton versus Rusev. Rusev coming into the pay-per-view match with a 4 pay-per-view match losing streak. Not good. If anyone on the SmackDown roster needed a pay-per-view win badly, it was Rusev. Crickets. Didn't get it.
Crickets.
This match, there's really no win-win for either opponent, too, because if Randy Orton wins, he wins. Rusev wins. Great, but where do you put him after that? And now you're sticking him in a different tag team. Let's get back to the Randy Orton-Rusev match.
Crickets.
Yeah, nothing to take from it, nothing to learn from it, nothing to build off of.
There could have been some sort of stipulation. I don't know what it would have been, but a stipulation match would have been better for a pay-per-view.
The good news about this match is that it lasted longer than the two other combined matches they had.
Yeah.
Which were a total of 20 seconds, 10 seconds each.
Right.
This one lasted longer than them. That's a great start for them.
That's great.
Randy Orton, for the most part, dodged a couple of bullets, slithered out of a nasty hold, and then got an RKO and pinned him for a 1-2-3. Yeah. If you want a further recap, I'm sorry. You're going to have to go to, I don't know, Bleacher Report or something, because there's just not much to report on this match. And there really isn't a lot to report on it of the aftermath either. You know, Rusev may be going to join a tag team or whatever, but, I mean, there's, in regards to the match itself, it's dead. And it was really going nowhere. And it
was a filler match.
That's a great word.
Just a filler match.
That really was. That's a great word.
Now that the U.S. title match, was it the U.S. title match
mm-hmm.
with AJ Styles?
Yes. Against,
I predicted at least.
I got
most
a text from you.
Yes, I texted you because they did add the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger, to the match at the last minute. I said Ty would win it, but in a very entertaining match, I thought for a fatal 3-way. Baron Corbin comes out on top by taking a little bit of a shortcut, but he did come out on top. I am so smart. S-M-A-R-T. I predicted that at least 2/3 of that one.
Let's back up and rewind just a bit. In the Hell in the Cell kickoff show, Ty Dillinger goes and makes his case to Daniel Bryan and says, hey, I beat Corbin in the previous Tuesday on a SmackDown.
Correct.
I deserve a shot in that title. It's a fair argument. Can't complain against him. Daniel Bryan looks at it, says, yes, sir, you do.
Yep.
and joins the fray. The match itself, actually pretty good.
I liked it.
I know. I thought AJ Styles did a great job. I thought Dillinger shined.
Yeah.
I mean, he really came out and put out a good effort.
He showed what he can do.
Oh, man. He's impressive. The biggest ramification in this situation, though, is always these kind of things go against the champion, because that means if the champion doesn't have to be pinned to lose his title.
Right.
So that puts the champion, which was AJ Styles, in a kind of a pickle.
Yeah.
I don't like. We got to figure out a rule for that, by the way. I don't like how if the champion doesn't get pinned,
it is a good way to expand a feud or to end a feud, with both parties being okay with what happened. I mean, you know, both fans will say, well, you know, AJ Styles wasn't really pinned for that title, but now he is free to go after Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship, which he's challenged Jinder on the last SmackDown.
Coolest parts of the sequence of the event, or of the match itself, Styles hits Dillinger with a Pele kick, sends Dillinger on the top of Corbin, almost results in a title change because there's a pin. They're just leaning on top of each other.
Right.
And that decision actually would just come like, what, 5 seconds later?
Uh-huh.
A springboard, 450 on Corbin, and a last-minute break from Dillinger, which then Styles delivers a perfectly executed phenomenal forearm to Dillinger. Corbin comes back. He regains his wits, gets back into the ring, gives a couple of kicks to Styles outside the ring. Jumps back on Dillinger, who's laid out still, pins him for the 1-2-3.
And he is the champ.
Bam, bam, bam. Yeah. Match is over.
Right. But it was fun.
Oh, man, it was crazy.
I loved it.
Fast paced, fast and fierce is what I like to call that
one. I thought that was a really good match. And then on SmackDown this past Tuesday night, Baron Corbin was going to go up against Sin Cara. Where has he been this time? And they did where Sin Cara actually beat Corbin on a countout. So are they pushing Sin Cara now to go against Baron Corbin? That's a step down. I don't like it.
It's just interesting. Corbin won WrestleMania 32's event of Andre the Giant Memorial event.
Yeah.
We haven't seen anything of momentum since that event.
Right.
We've waited and waited and waited for Corbin to actually pick up steam with that. Finally, he does.
Right.
Gets a win with the U.S. title. I'm excited to see where we go from there.
I like Baron Corbin.
No, he's going to be a good title holder.
Right.
How long does it last? That's up for grabs because, right. I mean, the title is easily swinging, especially guys like AJ Styles. And you know what? I really don't think Dillinger's out of the story yet.
I think so either.
He's still back in there.
I think it's cool.
It's a date.
Yep.
Let's go to the U.S. women's title. This one was interesting. Actually, you know what? I was kind of surprised Charlotte Flair won. For those who have not been hiding under a rock, let's just go ahead and say that. She had a great run as a four-time champion in Raw.
Yep.
Goes to SmackDown and just loses every bit of momentum. Can't catch herself in any of the right breaks.
They made her into a face.
Yep.
And she was a heel on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
No, Charlotte won. Nat is still the champ. And she can't lose the belt on a disqualification.
At all Charlotte Flair's drama with SmackDown and the change, not to mention her father was having medical issues, and you're dealing with that. And like you said, the match was good. I thought the match was actually well done. It was, you know, Charlotte dominated the first half of it, which you knew at some point, you know, Natalya was going to come back and get hers. But what you didn't see coming was Natalya was going to use a chair, use her brain, and then smack, of course, Charlotte. And remember, you cannot give up the title by disqualification.
Right.
Natalya realized that, took it to her advantage, slaps her with a chair, match is over.
They're always saying the champion's advantage and things like that. So that's one of the big catchphrases. It's the champion's advantage. She cannot lose the title on a disqualification.
So with no title change, no rebirth with Charlotte Flair being a SmackDown champion, and really, for all intents and purposes, she lost the match. What do you do?
You go for the next pay-per-view, Charlotte and Natty again, and maybe Carmella. Miss Money in the Bank gets involved pretty soon.
If you're Charlotte, I mean, throw your hands in the air and just think, what the crap's going on?
Yeah.
That's a tough loss for her.
Yep.
Let's head over to the Mr. Bobby Roode. He had a 203-day reign as an NXT title holder. Turns around and makes his pay-per-view debut on Hell in a Cell and gives Ziggler, no pun intended, actually, yes, it is intended, a Roode introduction. Rude ends up getting the win, beats Dolph Ziggler. Matchup was actually pretty good, but I'm more excited to see what this does for Rude going forward.
Yeah, well, because, well, they're still in the middle of this feud. That's still going to be going at least one more pay-per-view, I would think.
You think it goes one more?
I think it does because of what's going on in SmackDown. But it was kind of interesting because you and I both predicted that Dolph Ziggler, who's been doing all these imitations of great wrestling entrances, and he was saying that he was going to do this spectacular entrance, and he just comes out and walks out to the ring. And both you and I predicted that the last time.
The great thing is that these two wrestlers are really talented, mm-hmm. and so I hope you're right that the rivalry does continue to go more than one pay-per-view.
They also had the Fashion Files make its return. It's so stupid, but people like it. I sit there and watch it and go, what? But boy, people react to Fandango and Tyler Breeze as the Fashion Police. Harper and Rowan are coming back as the what do they call them now? I can't remember it now. Unmemorable name. The Basham Brothers or something like that. Anyway, Harper and Ro are coming back kind of in their same type of role as they were when they were with the Wyatt family.
Do you agree with it?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I don't think we do either.
Yeah, I think I would have put them under a mask or changed their look just a little bit, maybe gave them a manager, but it's just the... Anyway, they're going to have some sort of feud going on with the Fashion Police and the Ascension pretty soon.
Stunner of the night, Kevin Owens does beat Shane McMahon with the help of who?
Sami Zayn.
Two bitter rival enemies. 2014 NXT guys. I mean, they went at it hard. Let's go ahead and just get into the match and starting it. Of course, you knew that 75-year-old Shane McMahon was going to do something stupid. There were three announcing tables to start the match.
Yes.
There were zero when the match ended.
I mean, that Hell in a Cell match would ended the show, and there was one other match we'll get into in a little bit.
Yeah.
But they had just incredible high spots. There was a part where...
Well, of course, Shane McMahon's in it. He's going to do anything stupid.
But Kevin Owens stole the show to me. Kevin was, you know how he talks to the crowd?
Sure.
At one point, he has Shane in a compromising position, and Shane's kids were there by ringside, and he shouts out, who's your daddy now? I should be your role model. Look at your dad. You know, it was some good stuff. He's always talking with the crowd, and he's got a booming enough voice that they don't have to have him mic'd in the ring, but a microphone near him, and you can make out what he says. I loved it. I loved that Hell in a Cell match.
So there's a part, and this kind of makes me cringe a little bit, but he's putting, okay, first of all, they all at some point end up on top of the cell.
Right.
Before that, I mean, they're inside the cell, and he's pressing, or Kevin Owens is pressing McMahon's face against the cage, and he's looking at McMahon's kids, and he's saying, look at daddy.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fetch is your problem, yeah. dude? Oh my gosh. What are you, Mick Foley?
I loved it.
It was good.
Did you notice that Kevin also hit Shane in his...
Wachobies.
And then he took Shane and ran him into the ring door in his... Wachobies. And I told you it was coming back.
He just got him in the ding ding!
You should have never told me that story. I love that name. Instead of saying, he ran him into his Wachobies. Anyway, it was a great match. And then the shocker of the night.
Let's talk about the first two announcer tables.
Okay.
Okay, one of them was the Spanish announce table. That was ended by Kevin Owens. The second was ended by McMahon. The third one, they climbed out the cell. And I'm thinking, I guarantee you, Shane's going to try and match that. I knew it was coming. I was waiting for a stupid little elbow drop that is so uncoordinated that he's actually doing like a back belly flop, if you will. It is horrible. Horrible. There is no coordination to a stinking drop at all whatsoever. That was the first table, right? The second table was via Shane McMahon, wasn't it? That thing was ended him. And the third one was Shane McMahon standing on top of the cage. He stared him down. And he waited forever, thought about it, said his little prayer.
Yes, crossed himself.
Like twice. I think three times, actually. And then as soon as he's leaping off, I was like, Kevin's going to move. I mean, I just know it.
It was taking so much time.
But then all of a sudden, Kevin doesn't move. But then who comes to pull him out of the freaking way?
Sami Zayn.
His own rival.
Yes, the man. They have had some incredible matches in the past. Not only in the WWE, we've talked about them when Sammy was El Generico in ROH and all the independents that they did. And they've even had incredible matches in NXT and also in the WWE on Raw. And here comes Sami Zayn pulling Kevin out off the table, and he makes a heel turn. And it's an unusual heel turn because Sammy is still going to be coming out to that same music, whichever one chants along to, dancing around, acting all happy, but he's taking control of his own career. That's what he said on SmackDown Live on Tuesday night. I love it that he is still staying with that same entrance theme and his same ring attire, but he's a heel. I think that's very creative. Instead of changing his whole look and making it come out, I've changed my career. I'm not going to be Mr. Nice Guy no more. He actually says, I'm still the same guy. I'm still a nice guy. But I'm just taking control of my own career. I'm taking it back.
Shane McMahon, once he recovers from all this, I mean, he's still SmackDown manager, give or take.
Yeah, he's going to be coming back on SmackDown Live this coming Tuesday night, the Tuesday after TLC.
TLC.
And he's going to be addressing Kevin and Sami Zayn. That might be interesting.
Shane can stay out of it. I mean, he can be involved without having to wrestle. I love Shane McMahon. He does a lot of great things for the industry. But this whole, like, flipping off, I mean, we talk about how we worry about The Undertaker being, you know, 95 years old and even just wrestling inside of a ring without a cage. We're talking about Shane McMahon throwing his body off of, like, a 20-foot cage, Hell in a Cell, onto an announcer's table. Or getting slammed through an announcer's table. Or taking these just incredibly vicious bumps.
Now he's in excellent condition.
Great. That's before he freaking throws his body out for, you know, into the wind. When it blows against him. And he gets blown back. I'm sorry. Yeah, and then he goes backwards. I mean, he just goes nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, great. I'm glad your body's in shape. Doesn't mean you have to freaking commit suicide.
You know, honestly, I don't disagree with you. Sometimes, for the sake of sanity, you don't need to be taking these horrific bumps.
Not at that age. That. Yeah. I mean, if you're young, go ahead and take them all you can.
He's younger than I am, young feller.
Yeah. It's really stupid. I mean, I should do it. I mean, I'll do it. That's fine. I'm good. I'm 31 years old, and I feel like I'm in great shape. But he's like, what? How old is he, really?
I think he's in his mid-50s.
See? Not even Tom Brady is going to be playing football in his mid-50s.
He says he one time said he had another 10 years in him.
No, that was 10 years ago, okay? He's not at 50. If he's playing at 50, then he's, well, no. You're grateful that I was just honest old. With you that you shouldn't be taking any bumps.
Oh, no. I don't want any more bumps. I'm taking enough.
Let's move on to the WWE World Championship match.
Okay. It was a good one.
Jinder Mahal wins it again. Hello, Jinder.
Against Shinsuke Nakamura. Can you say his name yet? Can you say Shinsuke Nakamura?
Shinsuke
Nakamura.
Makamaya.
Yes.
Macarena.
Of course, the...
Shins Macarena.
The Singh brothers had to get involved. I like
that's
to call
so stupid.
I love them because they remind me of an old TV show, you know. They are the Lenny and Squiggy of professional wrestling. Shlemiel Shlemazel, Hasenpfeffer Incorporated.
Shinsuke, okay, Macarena, he'll get his title.
Eventually, yes.
This win means the rival continues a little bit longer. Again, we use the word rival forever, but it's going to go on a little bit longer. And I think the next time they meet up for that title, Shinsuke wins it.
It could be. Tuesday night on SmackDown Live. Tuesday night, Jinder Mahal was in the ring and he challenged Brock Lesnar. That's when AJ Styles came out. You're now the phenomenal AJ Styles.
I'm challenging Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
To a no holds barred.
Yeah, that's what he challenged Brock Lesnar, and then that's when AJ Styles came out, and so they're setting up. It's not going to be Brock. I mean, that's not going to happen right away anyway, but it is going to be AJ Styles, and I think AJ Styles probably has a chance to win the title before Shinsuke Nakamura.
Really?
I think so. He's the bigger star, and Nakamura is a Michael Jackson wannabe.
Steve Dan, Audrey Salveson, Zane Peterson, you're listening to Turnbuckle Trash.
Hey, MSR.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, do you like geeky things?
I love geeky things, Chunky Larry.
How much do you love geeky things?
I would say at least a 7.
A 7? That's a lot.
I mean, I have a few places on the internet I go to.
Well, the one place you want to go on the internet is geeksoftheindustry.com. Because it's got geeks at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. Geeksoftheindustry.com, you say. What is that about? What is that?
Well, you know, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got cartoons, movies, music, video games, wrestling. You know, anything that's geeky that you're into, you'll probably be able to find at geeksoftheindustry.com.
I can watch all of those things?
No. It's a podcast website. You listen to things.
Oh,
podcasting. You can download them from the website, or you can, you know, subscribe to one of the shows on Stitcher or iTunes.
What was that website again?
That's geeksoftheindustry.com, my good friend.
I'm gonna go right now.
Yeah, sorry, my brother. You've got to get your own.
I don't know karate, but I know crazy. Get ready for the big paper.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Welcome back to Turnbuckle Trash. Dave Denton, Audrey Salveson, Zane Pearson along for the ride. Dave, thanks for not puking on me yet. I really do appreciate that. And thanks for not pooping your pants. That's actually more appreciate than you puking on me. We just recapped Hell in a Cell 2017 presented by SmackDown. Raw now gets his chance to have all eyes on it. It's tables, ladders, and chair at the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota this Sunday, October 22nd, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good matches coming ahead.
Yes, really good.
Okay, so by the way, who has the better Raw event or a better list of event matches from Hell in a Cell to TLC? I feel like Raw is really starting to kind of dry out, and I'll kind of get into it why here in just a little bit, but I just don't like the route it's going.
You've got Mickie James, of course.
And Alexa Bliss, the Little Miss Bliss.
WWE Raw Women's Championship on the line. Dave, give me something here.
Okay, Mickie James has come back into the WWE after spending a lot of time in the old TNA Impact. She's a veteran, and that's the angle they're going at here. Alexa Bliss, the young champion, going against Alexa is just doing a lot of old jokes, kind of like what you do with me.
Sure.
Saying that she's a grandma and that she's old, that she's yesterday's news. And Mickie James, who still has this incredible look about her, just a beautiful woman and very athletic, has kind of been using that as incentive to go against Little Miss Bliss for the title. And I think it'll be a very well-done women's title match. There might be some sort of twist at the end. I don't know what that is, but I got a feeling that somebody will be involved. Don't know who, so don't ask me.
any Bailey predictions?
Bailey, maybe.
You're saying Bailey's your prediction?
I'll say Bailey. There has been talk of Bailey making a heel turn, and maybe Bailey will make this heel turn against Mickie James. Maybe so.
Cruiserweights really became kind of a focal point of the WWE, really bringing those titles like the Intercontinental Championship, the U.S. Championship, unless you're Roman Reigns, and the Cruiserweight Title Championship. Now back, Kalisto versus Enzo Amore.
Amore.
No, I'm going to call him Amore.
My name is Enzo Amore!
There is a backstory here. Neville was the champion.
Yes.
Right. Neville evidently, according to all reports from several different sources, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Pro Wrestling Weekly, Wrestling Epicenter, and several things that I've read, had walked out on Raw because he was upset about something. He walked out of Raw, and that's why they did the title change with Enzo Amore losing the title to Kalisto. They had to redo it at the very last minute. Neville, from last thing I read, and I'm sorry I can't give the person the credit that I saw. I want to say Dave Metzler said it was because he was upset that his match at WrestleMania was not included in the DVD, so he wasn't getting money for that when he had his match at WrestleMania. That, and I can't credit who that source is, and my apologies for that because I'm doing this off the top of my head right now. But now it's going to be Enzo Amore going against Kalisto for the Cruiserweight title in 205. Their ratings have gone up since Enzo Amore has turned heel and then won that title and started competing on 205 Live also, along with his appearances on Raw with the other 205 Cruiserweight wrestlers.
Sure.
I would not be surprised to see him get the title back.
My name is Enzo Amore!
The Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher, they'll face off against Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann.
It should be, it's high flying. I mean, those Cruiserweights, they're all over the place. And the Brian Kendrick is a great professional.
I was
going to say,
if there's anybody to stand out in the four of these guys, I think it's the Brian Kendrick.
The Brian Kendrick has been around for years. He's trained people. He's been training, and now he's getting back into spotlight. Love it.
A match that is just as curious as Randy Orton versus Rusev was, and one that's probably soon to die out as quick as one of Dave Fart's. The Demon Finn's sister Abigail, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt, hate the match, hate the idea, and by the way, Finn is supposed to be kind of making a headway up to the card, or at least on the card in the Raw division. This doesn't make sense.
It's curious, isn't it?
I don't like the match. I think Finn wins, and I don't think it's even close, and I think Bray Wyatt continues to struggle. For some reason, he's been in a doghouse for a while when it comes to pay-per-view matches, and this doesn't change a dang thing.
Well, they're making out, and
wait, did they're you saying, say they're making out?
Well, Sister Abigail is. They're trying to make it to where Bray Wyatt is now becoming Sister Abigail. I don't know if that will really happen. I'm thinking on Sunday, Sister Abigail, Bray Wyatt will dress up and he'll have like a some kind of something on his head and he'll say he's Sister Abigail. But during the match, Sister Abigail herself will come out. That's what I'm hoping because we need a Sister Abigail to come out with Bray Wyatt and be part of his persona. Finn Balor, he's bringing back the Demon. They showed him in his war paint on Monday Night Raw. He looked like a jack-o'-lantern. Orange and black, and he looked like a jack-o'-lantern. And I love Finn. I wish I could find me a Balor Club t-shirt. Curious storyline. I know Christopher Evans doesn't like it at all.
Oh, but yeah.
Yeah.
His Facebook stuff. By the way, if you don't follow our Facebook Turnbuckle Trash page, we should wait till the end of this, but I'm going to get it there anyways. Chris Evans does a great job.
Yes,
I
does.
Love Chris Evans' work.
Yes.
It is. He asks great questions, gets great feedback in regards to those questions. So, Chris, shout out to you.
Yep.
Yummy.
And he'll be a part of more of our podcast in the future with Chris on the mat.
Asuka makes her long-awaited debut on the main roster for WWE. She'll be facing off against Emma, who probably doesn't stand much of a chance in this match.
Oh,
she somehow won a multi-woman match, then turned around and her reward is Asuka,
the former NXT champ. It'll be a squash. It'll be a squash match.
It's a quick one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a squash very quick because they're trying to set up Asuka possibly in the future with Little Miss Bliss, Alexa Bliss, for the next pay-per-view. Asuka came from Japan. A lot of hype. She was undefeated in NXT. She's moved up to the main roster now. She has been battling a little bit of an injury. I just see it as a squash. They're trying to set her up as being almost unbeatable again. So
this match has curiosity, but yet storylines. It's one that I think people are really looking forward to. You want to talk about Murder's Row? This Shield just barely got together. What is their reward? They get a match versus the following: Braun Strowman, The Miz, Kane, Cesaro, and Sheamus. It's a TLC match. It's curious because, and it's a tough decision for the WWE. If the Shield wins, which they're expected to, Kane came back for what? If the Shield loses, the Shield came back for what?
What will happen? I have a theory.
You flip a coin 50-50 and that's your answer as of right now. Unless you got it. I want to hear your theory, though.
I have a theory that Kane will turn on Braun Strowman.
I like it.
Yeah. But the Shield will win because, like you said, why bring back the Shield if they're going to lose in their first pay-per-view?
Sure.
And then, you know, they might even be able to do a more program with The Bar, which I love, Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah.
You know, where, by the way, there is a Ford F-150 commercial out there saying, we don't set the bar, we are the bar. Where did they get that from? They got it from the WWE because we are the bar. Sheamus and Cesaro.
You okay?
It made me mad when I saw that.
Jeez. Obviously. So, yeah,
terrible person.
It's murderer's row for the Shield, but I do expect them, and I think the whole entire world expects them to win. As we just already noted, they just barely got put together.
Yeah.
Only, I mean.
Unless there's a heel change in the Shield, you know, whether they turn Dean Ambrose into a heel or they turn Roman Reigns into a heel and he, you know, gets back at Seth Rollins for what he did. You know, that's a possibility too, but I think the Shield will win.
I do.
Sell them t-shirts.
It'll be interesting to see what happens to the other five though.
Yeah.
To the Miz, to the Kane. I mean, where do you go with them?
Yeah.
If Kane comes back, I don't know. There's a lot of intrigue into that one.
And, you know, Kane is still, as far as I know, is still running for mayor of Knox County in Tennessee. You didn't know that?
No, I knew that. I'm trying to decide, would you vote for Kane?
I would vote for Glenn Jacobs. Oh. And Sir Isaac Yankum. That was his persona when he first came into the WWE. He also was the fake Diesel.
Wait, really?
Yeah. And he was Dr. Isaac Yankum. He was Jerry Lawler's personal dentist.
So I was watching YouTube, and I've been Googling a lot of 90s wrestling matches, and it's been fun. But I saw an old, old clip of Mark Calloway before The Undertaker doing a promo on a wrestling gig. I can't remember the form of it. But, man, his promo sucked, and his wrestling was worse. I sat there and laughed.
Early in his career, yeah.
It made me feel so bad. I had to Google a match from, you know, his WrestleMania match against Shawn Michaels, the first one, just to feel good about myself again.
Mean Mark Calloway.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
Mean Mark Calloway.
He had this red hair. I mean, he looked so normal, and I was like, don't ever do that again.
And I think he did Texas Red when he was wrestling out of Texas. He in Memphis, he was a Mean Mark Calloway. You probably saw one of the old Memphis promos.
Oh, man, it was horrible. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but don't ever do it again. Yeah. All right, well, that's a preview again this Sunday. Tables, ladders, and chairs. All eyes on Raw this time. I don't think it will be as near as highlighting, if you will, if that's a word, as a SmackDown is. But Minneapolis, Minnesota, here they come.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm planning on watching it. It'll probably go four hours again.
I've got a big game. New England hosts Atlanta.
Where's your priorities?
Rematch of the Super Bowl.
Where are your priorities?
No, it's with my team that I'm loyal with.
You're not royal. You're not loyal to Turnbuckle Trash.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And the Trash Heads.
I'm sorry. I guess you don't know what it's like to be loyal when your Cardinals can't make the playoffs, so you have nobody to cheer for. It's
11.
You don't have any priorities.
World Series titles. 11.
5 Super Bowl titles. I got a team I gotta take care of on Sunday at 6:00.
Well, you can watch it on the network later.
Wonderful. I might do that, depending on what your text messages say to me. Okay, your text messages will tell me if I should watch it or not.
I'm
gonna watch it. We have to watch it. We gotta preview, we gotta come back and recap to the audience what we just saw.
Okay. Works for me.
So I hope Macarena gets to fight Amor sometime, by the way.
Macarena and Amor.
Oh,
okay, here we go. Yes, sir.
All right, fans, coming back, we're going to get news, rumors, and delights. Dave Denton's going to recap Lucha Underground, ROH. We've got talk of, and oh, by the way, can't miss this one, Zane Peterson, Dave Denton, talking WWE ticket pricing, Dave.
We'll do that next.
Can't wait. It's all coming back. Dave Denton, Audrey Salison, Zane Peterson, you're listening to Turnbuckle Trash.